Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, family. We thank you so much for joining us tonight in the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call. And we're here every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the Ulu family is all over this land and around the world in Africa and in several other countries. And we welcome you. And each Thursday, we have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination, which we very much need. And we are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And tonight's topic, each week we have interesting topics that's vital to the mind and the things that we must do. And tonight's topic is what's in the news at the Ulu Cultural Center. And we will get right into that conversation just in a short minute after the music finishes. And once again, family, we welcome you to the call tonight. Our roots begin in Africa. We, the original people, the world's first civilization, the world's first universities that was inspired in our mind. And then we built the curriculum, the physical structure. Our roots begin in Africa with African people. And we welcome you once again to be with us. And we're heard around the world. This is Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Call, and we have Us Lifting Us members around the world. And I am Brother Thurman, and I welcome you to the call tonight. And I'm being joined by Ulu family members and other members of our people that are on listening to us by telephone or by internet radio. And wherever you may be, if you're on internet radio, you can call in and comment and participate in the conversation by calling 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you had any problems and you needed to tune in, or if internationally, you can reach us by internet radio at usliftingus.com or www.usliftingus.com. And when you get to the home page, you look for Ulu Radio and you click on that tab, and you go from there to when the screen changes and click on Listen Live. And that will bring you right into the program. And otherwise, you can also go to Blog Talk Radio and find the tab that is dealing with the Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Call. And also among the Ulu family members that are joining us by internet radio and also by telephone, there's Brother Shabaka. Brother Shabaka, welcome you and thank you so much for the call, and give us some good word.
Yeah, greetings, Brother Thurman, and greetings to the family. My pleasure to be here. I'm hoping that we can engage in a powerful discussion on what are the current events and past events that impact our lives, and most importantly, what are we going to do about it?
Oh, good word. Good word. Thank you so much, brother. You said plenty right there, and family, listen to what he said. And so we need to, on a regular basis, know what's in the news and analyze it from our African mind, and not just accept what someone else is saying about whatever the subject might be. You can pick any subject you want to. And every day that goes by that we are not putting our minds together and keeping our minds focused on what we want and focus on what we are doing and what we are building, we are just getting further and further behind. But every time we come together and we put our minds together and we share knowledge that's in this brain computer, like we did long, long ago when Africans would sit wherever, including underneath the baobab tree, and just ponder, you know, deep thoughts about the universe. And by giving attention to what they wanted, then they came up with science and math and technologies and like no other, and built like no other. And so the topic tonight, once again, says, what's in the news at the Ulu Cultural Center? And you may ask, why the cultural center? Because that is one of the places that is vital, that we have conversations that we need to have most every day amongst each other. The Ulu Cultural Centers will provide that place that we can do that, a place where we can come, that we control, and we can talk, and we can talk as black as we want, for as long as we want, and as deep as we want. And it's a place that is coming forth, and we should have Ulu Cultural Centers in every village or community, wherever we are on this planet, that's available daily, including holidays or celebrations, regardless of where we live on the planet, as I said, a center where we can come to the come for cultural comfort, a place we can come for cultural comfort and sanity while others are busy doing their celebrating other things, including anti-US European holidays. And this is a season for the European, it's European in origin, that began before the settlers came to this land, the pumpkin season. And it's not something like any, just as it applies to all European holidays. In the news, we should be talking about what we should not be participating in. And it's anti-US for us to be participating in these European holidays, and certainly including this pumpkin season or Halloween season. And if you look up the writings that was written in books by Europeans about the Europeans, the pumpkin season required them over in Europe before they came to this land. And it wasn't centered around pumpkins, it was centered around cutting each other's heads off. And so without going into more details, carving the face in the pumpkin, these are the kind of things we are saying needs to be shared at the Ulu Cultural Center so that we are properly informed and we won't indulge ourselves in foolishness. And so carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes when they used to cut each other's head off during the Halloween season. The cultural center would also be a place that we can gather for our holidays and celebrations, and a place where we can have peace of mind when others are celebrating their things and we are not participating. But what we should be doing is participating and networking and just sharing deep thoughts with each other in our own space and doing things that's vital to us. And now more than ever, we need each other. We need to see each other. We need to hear each other. We need to feel each other's energy live and in living color. And somewhere out there, some might say, now? And I say, yes, now. So they say, well, what about this illness that's going around? Shouldn't we stay away from each other? Well, that's enough subject to be discussed, but I can say one of the things that we can do, if that's your concern, is gather outside in the sunshine, which is a place that we belong every day. Anyway, we're supposed to be outside every day. We benefit greatly, including our immune system and resistance to illness, by getting fresh air and sunshine. And so if being in a place, then as we build these Ulu cultural centers, we'll have a space outside, and we can sit outside. And if you want to sit 6 feet apart in the sunshine together in a circle, let's do that. But we cannot afford to stay away from each other. And it's having an effect on the minds of our people by staying away, hiding, away from each other, and we're not sharing that knowledge. And so the Ulu Cultural Center would be a home away from home where we share deliberate, therapeutic, deep conversation and therapeutic food, drink, and healing, and much more. And we've got to do this. We got to talk about being sovereign, you know, which is having absolute control over the life of our nation. And we got to recognize that we got to get busy. We got to get busy. Brother Baba Hekima, our elder founder of Us Lifting Us, he wrote a few years ago that the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. In the context of African liberation, if our will, activity, and resources are not directed at building and maintaining systems and institutions that seek to position us as sovereign, then by default, we serve another and not ourselves. This would surely be a tragic waste of time and other resources, Baba Hekima. And for those that had been to the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there was a a notice about tonight's conversation with the topic being what's in the news at the Ulu Cultural Center. And you saw on there a picture, and you can go to the Us Lifting Us page and find it right now. And it's a picture of a Us Lifting Us t-shirt that comes in at least three colors, in green and orange and black. And we urge you to participate and go to usliftingus.com webpage, and you would be able to order that those t-shirts and support Ulu, and ideally along with supporting in terms of this t-shirts, but to delve down, if you have not already done so, into the workings and the great value of Us Lifting Us and this cooperative model, and join and become and apply to become a member, because you do have to apply. It's not automatic. So make sure you check out the t-shirts. And also, if you have any problems through the web page where you can actually leave your information to be contacted, you can also reach us by email at info@usliftingus.com. That's info@usliftingus.com. And without going any further, as I said earlier, the topic is what's in the news at the Ulu Cultural Center. And so we are in the Ulu Cultural Center right now, you know, by internet radio. And we are seriously interested about what's vital in the news that we need to know about. So I mentioned the pumpkin carving. We all need to know about it. Some do, but there's a whole lot of us that do not, that would have a different view if they knew why that face was being carved in that pumpkin. And so, Brother Shabaka, with all of this that's going on, as you said earlier, in the past and in the present, give us some good word about what's in the news that needs to be shared at the Cultural Center tonight.
Well, thank you, brother, and family. Again, I am honored to be here and to share the stage with Brother Thurman. And what's in the news? That's good for us. Well, right now we know that if you turn on CNN, MSNBC, and the like, you know, the only thing that you see is bad news, and that is get that jab. That's the only thing that you see is to get that jab. Now, I want you to examine that. And we've given on this program, you know, a number of health issues and topics, all right, because health is important. As we said before, in order to build an economy, in order to build a business, you can't be in the hospital bed, you know, with a ventilator on. That's not going to do it. You have to keep yourself healthy, all right? And then you have to also know those kind of things that make and have you feeling not at ease or diseased, and which is why we have a lot of health topics. But when we look in the news today, the only thing that you see is the jab, all right? And even though, now you have to really understand this and think about it. There are, you know, at least 100 million people, at least 100 million people in this country who have contracted what they call COVID-19, all right? They contracted something, and they were tested with something that indicated that they had the disease COVID-19. Well, they recovered from it. Now, when you recover from a respiratory disease, you recover as a consequence of your body building up an immunity, all right? And that immunity is in your body memory banks, such that it will prevent in future occurrence for that disease to take over like it did the first time. So technically, when you look at the amount of people that's been attacked by the disease or some disease that they call COVID-19, who have recovered from the disease that they call COVID-19, all right, and recovered means they had built an immunity. And now they're giving you the jab, all right, and they have inoculated over 100 million people too. So technically, you have what they call, you know, an immunity of protection, a wall of protection for the rest of the population, all right? But at the same time, they're still saying, get that jab. So So you got to become a little suspicious now. All right. The herd immunity, we reach herd immunity, you know, based on the people who have contracted and are healthy, based on the people who have been, which I call, unfortunately, believe the system and gotten the jab. You know, we have over 75-80% of the population that have been, that technically should be immune. All right. So why are they still pushing the jab? Well, it just came out the other day that Pfizer, the leading manufacturer of the jab in this country, is going to get anywhere from $26 to $30 billion as a consequence of its rollout of the booster. Now, that's in the news. All you got to do is put, don't believe me. I don't want anybody to believe me. Go to the website, put Pfizer, booster, all right, revenue. That's all you got. And that number comes up, all right? And so you say, well, and that's off the booster. Remember now, the booster is a third shot if you're taking the Pfizer, all right, vaccine, so-called vaccine. That's a third shot. Now, if they are going to make $30 billion, up to $30 billion off of the booster, how much did they make from the first two shots? So it ain't about health, you know, it's about money. All right, and that you got to think about that. Now, I know that some of you might say, well, Shabak, I know people that's gotten sick. All right, I know some people that maybe has severe injuries. And unfortunately, you might know some people that have transitioned. All right, but you do not know what they transitioned from. Regardless of what the hospital staff or the doctor said or the coroner said, you do not know what they died from. Because, number one, there were no autopsies. And 95%, 94 to 95% of those people, and this is on the CDC website, don't take my word from it, all right? On the CDC website, 94 to 95% of those people who contracted COVID and died had comorbidities. Comorbidities just means that you had other diseases. In fact, they say they had an average of 2.9 comorbidities. So they had, in addition to testing positive and believed to have contracted the disease COVID-19, they had almost three other diseases. So what did they die of? COVID might have assisted, but you don't know what they died of. And see, that's one of the games I want to, hopefully, that in the conversation that we're having right now, you get a breath and you get understanding, and you might say, well, look, I'm not going to fall for that trick, all right? And now the mandates. Why are they mandating? And we got some of our Democratic so-called liberals. I mean, I've seen the liberal sister from New York, all right? I've seen liberals from California. I've seen liberals all over, you know. They pushing the mandate. I've seen Bernie Sanders, supposed to be a socialist, pushing the mandate. Now, he knows that these mandates are illegal. He knows that. He's not dumb. In addition to that, he knows that these mandates were not given. This is the other trick. Listen very carefully. We have three branches of government. We have the executive, which is what the president belongs to. He governs the agency. We have the legislative, which is Congress. They make laws. And then we have the judiciary, all right? All right? They interpret the laws if someone brings a case before them that the law has been violated or unconstitutional. All right? So the president has a limited amount of power, okay? And then, you know, some of these mandates are not legal because he doesn't have the authority to make them legal. He has this, but see, Congress can overrule that. All right, so it's the president that uses executive powers to do certain things in a limited fashion, in a time frame, all right? And then it is up to Congress, all right, to see if there is some validity in what the president has have identified and support him with legislation, and then it is up to the judiciary if anybody say that what the president did and what the legislative did are illegal, unconstitutional, in violation of the statutes that are out here, then they could take it to the courts. And, of course, we haven't seen any of that. All right, so what we see right now is that a very, regardless of how you feel about the whether COVID is real or not real, regardless of how you feel about from the news that you've seen, whether the vaccine are safe or unsafe, you should be wary of them. Whatever you're seeing, you see that it's happening, at least nationally, because all you got to do is turn on the news and everything is a national effort. But see, if you get some news outside of the U.S., it's more than just national. It's international. That takes sophisticated organization. But now a lot of people are fighting back. Brother Thurman, what's in the news? A brother from South Africa, you know, legal-minded brother there, all right, just in the past couple months, has brought a lawsuit against the president of South Africa, the parliament, which is the same as our Congress here, the parliament of South Africa, and also the central bank in South Africa that supported the efforts of the president to initiate these mandates, which this legal mind says is unconstitutional and illegal. He brought that. That is the first case in the world that I know of by a brother. Now, he may be lucky. He may be dead. All right? But he's the first one that's brought a case against the government, all right, a sovereign government, about illegal activities that it claims as a result of mandates based on fraudulent information about the presence of this virus, about the testing that was used, all right, to authenticate that you had a virus, all right, and, of course, the money that was provided by the central bank in South Africa, which supports the president's effort to ruin their country's economy as well as affected the health and life of many South African brothers and sisters. So let me stop there. That's just part of the news. We got a lot more to talk about, but I don't want to monopolize the conversation. And family, this is where we put out news. So if you got something on the paper, in your paper, call in, share that information. Let's analyze that information. Let's see how that information can impact us, all right, to strengthen our ability as we organize such that we don't fall pitfalls, all right, into those kind of traps, all right, that are definitely going to be laid out there because of the resources and because of the will of those who have been enslaving us, all right, and exploiting us, you know, for 400 to 500 years. Let me stop here, brother. Thank you.
All right, Brother Shabaka, thank you. There's such very vital information that you shared, and we really need to absorb that and be really thinking deeply, because otherwise, as he mentioned, just said, you know, what's been happening for 400 to 500 years has been against us, and the indication is that it will continue unless we rise up with right knowledge and take our rightful place, and us lifting us as part of what's going to help us do that from this economic side of things and beyond economics. But just economic control is absolutely vital in this world of this chaotic and brutal capitalistic model. And family, as Brother Shabaka said, you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789 with your brief comment or questions, and just press number 1 on your keypad. And Brother Shabaka, I also, in continuing what you were talking about we don't know how many of the people, what they died from, especially in an accurate form, that was in the news, and since this first broke in terms of this pandemic almost a couple of years ago, there was in the news quite a few times, and people that research and investigate, you know, speaking realistically, talked about lots and lots of people that had toe tags in the morgue that said they had died from the virus or from COVID. And there was no evidence that they did, but there was also doctors that got compensated in certain areas to raise the number of people that died. And so it was, it had some incentive in terms of dollars, and big dollars, to just put a tag on that said COVID. And which what comes to my mind, this is what I was trying to get to, is what do we do about things we don't know? And part of the answer that we need to share and put our minds together, put our heads together, is that do we need, and Brother Shabaka, you give me your thoughts, do we need to take control with these pooling our resources intellectually and financially and have our own medical and healing centers and our own team of doctors, healers, and people along that line where we can truly be given evidence-based approaches and analysis and all of and test on whatever so that we're not being misled, duped, and lied to, just straight out lied to. What's your thoughts about that, Brother Shabaka?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the other breaking news that's so-called in the news, if you want to call it breaking news, it's in the news. And I think that it's important in this sense. And I'm going to read it to you. But, you know, they're arguing right now over the debt ceiling. All right. Because apparently what has happened in this country, and they do it all the time, is that they don't have – the government takes in about maybe $4 to $5 trillion annually from taxes, and it used that money, you know, in order to provide – supposedly to provide services for the community, for the states. But it spends more than that, and a lot of that spending – is spending through government contracts, all right? All right, in other words, what they have, the government takes in our money, all right? Then it awards monies to certain contractors, particularly big contractors, you know, military, in this case, the pharmaceuticals. One of the pharmaceuticals is one of the biggest industries that's been awarded by government handout, all right? So, they have to raise the debt ceiling because they can't pay their bills as a result of what has the government, you know, in this policy that they have of awarding large corporations. All right. So they're arguing right now. And it just so happens that it came across the news. What came across the news? All right. HBCU funding came across the news a couple of days ago. HBCU. All right. Historical Black Colleges and University funding falls from $45 billion to $2 billion under the latest Biden spending plan. That was a compromise that Biden made to the Republicans in order to try to get his spending plan and also to get the debt ceiling increase. All right. So he sacrificed, you know, providing spending. And I'm a tie to what you asked, Brother Thurman. All right. He sacrificed the institutions, the black institutions here, in order to satisfy, all right, the Republicans so that they won't filibuster, all right, on the Senate side. So he says he went from $45 billion. I went, look at that figure now. 45, which still isn't enough for the historical black colleges that we have. But let's not argue pennies. But he went from $45 billion down to $2 billion. You know, he got rid of $43 billion in his spending plan, all right, to try to build up some consensus with the Republicans, all right? supposedly. After which he said a few months ago that if it wasn't for the black community, he wouldn't have got elected. He owes the black community because he wouldn't have got elected. So we see how much he treat the people that he owes. That's us. All right. Now, let's get it back. Let's get it seriously to the question that you had. Brother comment that I know. He says, well, you know, chickens come home to roast. The black institutions did not support, you know, moving slowly on the adoption of mandatory vaccination, are insisting of researching a little bit more the health, you know, hazards maybe associated with this this so-called vaccine, all right, particularly since African Americans were disproportionately being affected, you know, by COVID-19. No, they didn't say that. They just went and got some money from the federal government to shut up, all right? They kept their mouths closed, all right? And they got awarded to do a little bit of research, all right? As a consequence of keeping their mouth closed, not there to protect the African-American population, he went from $45 billion down to $2 billion. So to answer your question, obviously, we need to have our own institutions. We need to control those institutions. We need to set up an agenda, a curriculum that addresses the needs of our people and not necessarily have them rely on the government, who have already said, I can promise you $45 billion and maybe cough up two. So, brother, yes, we do need our position. And then how does ULU sets in this? Well, ULU is the mechanism by which we are aiming to aggregate our resources. And I know we ask for money. Yeah, we do ask for money. I mean, the church asks for money, doesn't it? All right. But we're not asking only for that. We ask behind that money, behind your ability to give money, behind your ability to spend $1.3 trillion annually is a mind and the skills associated with that mind. So, yeah, we want to aggregate or bring in the resources together, you know, material as well as your mental. All right, we want to bring all those resources together because once they're together, organized, all right, it can maximize its appropriation of that $1.3 trillion and not have us rely, as the black historical black universities say, we are disappointed that the president did that. No, we don't have to be disappointed that he didn't do that. That's what he's been doing, he and his kind, for 500 years. We don't have to be disappointed. He's going to do that. All right? We're only disappointed in ourselves if we keep believing him. So, brother, I hope that touched a little bit upon what you were asking.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does very well. Thank you so much, family. That's so vital. And I also very much appreciate how you brought in that in spite of this cut down to $2 billion, that we don't have the option to just sit still and complain about that cut that's about lessening the opportunities for our people to advance academically, but that we've got to, regardless of what happens, be busy. And among the things that we must do is achieve economic liberation that would position us. And as you were talking about, I was thinking about the people that, you know, our people that would be griping about that huge cut, which wasn't enough before it was cut, of billions of dollars for the campuses. What would happen if we had an awakening, a conscious awakening, and started pooling our resources in huge numbers and taking our money out of the market of everything that we don't need, including fake things and things that's causing us mental relationship problems, you know, such as fake items, you know, hair and eyelashes and on and on and on, and you know, the fakery concerning, you know, multi-hundreds of dollars for tennis shoes and dozens of them. But what would happen if we snapped our fingers in our mind and said we're going to put a stop to that foolishness? It has nothing to do. We don't eat any of those things that I just need, and we don't need get nourished by any of those things that I just mentioned. And we've got to be putting a priority. And when I mentioned nourishment, as you were talking, and we're talking about this subject of this virus, question goes through my mind as you were talking. And I'm sure that you're familiar with sisters and brothers that you were a part of, and you were in the forefront of organizing along with Brother Amefika, a panel of sisters and brothers that could address from medical, you know, years and years of medical study along with natural healing methods that we could use to keep ourselves well and also to get well from many, many things. And we're not, and we are devoting our time, our energies, our money, and even the risk of our health and our life to this medical thing, but yet there are people that have years and years of study and practice and getting powerful, good results. Why would we continue to rely on them? It's like the words from Us Lifting Us that's been on their webpage. It may still be there in some places, but the word was, we either take control of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of others. And that term applies that if you took the economics out, we either take control of the health of our community, mentally, physically, nutritionally, we either take control of the health of our community or forever be at the mercy of others. And that would just be insane, that we would be okay with that. So, as I mentioned, the Ulu Cultural Centers, we need to be sharing this knowledge and this news, and it would be insane for us not to do it. And once again, family listening, we thank you so much for being on the call. And if you got questions or comments and some other news that's going on in the world, because the news that's going on that's deceiving, that's not evidence-based from 500 years ago, or if it was 5 hours ago, we need to scrutinize it and see what is this all about, because otherwise we'll have the people waking up tomorrow morning when the sun rises still confused. And so in the news, there's so many things, including African proverbs and good words and African deep thought, that helps to guide our thinking so that we got a greater level of sanity. And so in the African proverbs, there's the word, or in the African good word, is the word about the gazelle. The gazelle in Africa, when it wakes up in the morning, if it's not ready to run, the lion will eat it. And then the lion, if he's not fit and ready to run to catch the gazelle, the lion will go hungry. And it just goes on, and we are wasting time when we could be sharing so much knowledge. And Brother Shabaka, you might have something else in the news, because we could talk about our chemical makeup, melanin, our genetic makeup. I grew up and spent most of my life, and the older folks, a lot of them agreed to the same language that I'm getting ready to say, and that is, when they got to talking about people, us and them, they said, we all the same. And most of them believed that because they didn't know any better. And I believed it because I didn't know any better. But yet, we've got researchers that have researched this, African researchers, and it's not true. And among them is ancestor brother Edward Robinson, that is very accomplished in his academics, and he talked before he transitioned about the DNA of Europeans and Asians and monkeys, but also Africans. And when they studied the DNA of the Europeans and the Asians, the DNA number, however you call that sequence, whatever it might be, was 6. But the DNA of Africans was 9. But Edward Robinson was holding up a publication that involved that study. And he said it was copyrighted because they didn't want it passed around so that we would know about it or the world would know about it. So are we all the same? If they have a DNA of 6 and we have 1 of 9, well, we need to investigate that. And so that's among the things at the Ulu Cultural Center we would talk about. We would talk about melanin, the chemical key to black greatness by our brother scientist Carl Barnes. And it's not all the same. We need to know about our melanin and how it's useful and beneficial to us, and how in an artificial environment it's dangerous because it absorbs toxic things quickly and easily, including crack cocaine, more easily than others. And so there's so much in the news. And there's trees, maybe the maple tree, but there's trees that their seeds, when they are released by the tree, they have wings. And it makes them stay in the air longer, and so then it covers a wider area of where the seeds would be dispersed to help grow more trees away from the mother tree. So then they took that knowledge about the tree and these wings, and they have, and this is something to be in the news, created these winged micro little bitty tiny robots that they could drop out of planes by a million easily. And they say it was there that they could use them to monitor what's happening with the environment, the air, temperature, whatever is going on in that environment. But they also ended it by added to it that it can also monitor people. At the Community Ulu Cultural Center, we need to think about that. We need to think deeply about that. And what is the need for that? And Brother Chewbacca and family members, bring forth your contributions to this subject about what's in the news.
Yeah, thank you again, Brother. I want to go back to what you were saying a little earlier about the efforts of a couple of us to bring about some discussion, some conversation around the thing. Dr. Whitaker, who was one of the brothers who participated in that, has agreed to come back next week, all right, to add some more things that he wasn't able to because of the lack of time to share with the community. And if anybody wants to get that, you know, you can, you know, just send an email that the meeting of the Black Minds Part 3, I guess is what they call it, with Dr. Whitaker, will be featured next Wednesday from about 8 to 10. He's going to share some other stuff, and the brother has a powerful. He wasn't able to share enough, but he felt it was important because of the demand of people in the community to want more information, and we were happy. So just send an email to the website, which is I think info@uslifting.com, and I will make sure, you know, that information can be shared, the links and everything like that. I will share with the board, and I will share with our general manager, and so that he can share it out with the membership to make them aware of it. But so that information is ongoing because a number of things is happening. Interview I saw last week. The interview was with a Dr. David Martin, a European. But let me tell you about this European. All right. He has his PhD, you know, in medical research. Okay. And he founded, in fact, the government the government hires him, all right, to find any violators of the, you know, the chemical and biological war law, weapons law, you know, internationally. So he gets hired by the U.S. to investigate where countries might be doing. He also gets hired by even foreign countries to do that. And so he mentioned, and he was pissed off because he found that he had a tool, the only tool, all right, at least according to him, that found out where 4,000 patents, all right, has been dropped, illustrating and describing, you know, the novelty or lack of this pandemic that we are experiencing right now. He said, Pfizer. This is what he said. And if you want to listen to him, all you got to go to is childrenshealthdefense.org. That's childrenshealthdefense.org. And put in their little search engine. The search engine just look like a little spyglass. All right. And just put his name in there, or just put in there 4,000 patents. And you can put his name in there, Dr. David Martin. And it'll come up, you know, and he has a little video in which he says that Pfizer, all right, had patent in 1990, all right, the mRNA spike protein. Now, let me repeat that again. This is what he said. All right, he found it. So that's 30 years ago. Well, what are they doing now? Okay. And then, you know, put in some stuff about Pfizer just to find out how corrupt they are. You know, bribing legislators and not having their products come in there, to contaminated products. It's a whole list of stuff that Pfizer has done, which should concern us, because we know that as African people, we're going to get the brunt, you know, of what comes down as a consequence of that. So I'm saying that to indicate that there's a lot of stuff going on. He came out and made this claim last week. He's the top researcher. The government hires him to find out where folks are hiding their money, hiding their patents, and how they change the language to just, you know, because under the law, you cannot patent a naturally occurring biological phenomenon. You can only patent if you interfered and caused something else to happen that's new. And so he laid the stuff out there. Now, what are we to do? What are we to do is that if people have the ability and the time to bring this information up, our job, as I think brother you had mentioned what Brother Hakima said, is that we don't get diverted from all this, but we do have our antennas that as we move, because see, a lot of this stuff can impact our ability. Number one, if we're sick, we're not going to come to work. So obviously we got to know, we got to be talking and preaching about, you know, health. All right. And we got to warn the people about what is thrown at us to keep us unhealthy. All right. So we, you know, because we got to move, but we cannot move. We cannot develop an economy sick. I'm telling you, don't, you know, you focus on yourself. And then if you have the European in your life, you're not going to be doing too much good, you know, because what he's going to be giving you is not necessarily what you need. All right, so he mentions that what was really startling about what he mentioned also is that he says that the COVID seemed to have been targeting, you know, the elderly, and most of the majority of the percent of people who died from COVID were seniors, elders, okay? And interestingly, the vaccines, almost in the same proportion, are injuring and killing seniors. All right, he says, well, that makes sense because seniors are on Social Security. All right, they don't need the seniors anymore. I hate to say that, but I mentioned that before. Yeah, brother.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm listening to what you said, bro.
Oh, okay. I mean, we got in this country, we have almost 90 million seniors, all right, who are on retirement income. they are no longer, I know it hurts, let me say this, they are no longer contributing to the profitability of these industries because they're not working. Their labor is not being exploited. What is happening is that the government has to give some of that stuff back to them as opposed to giving it to the corporation. And the government has stowed, you know, there's a Social Security fund, you know, which is set up to take care of people when they become elders and stop working. All right. The government been stealing from it, you know, almost since its inception. It's going to run broke. David Martin, who does the analyst, that's his job, say Social Security fund, you know, was projected to last until 2033. He says you got about 6-7 years left before there will be no money in the fund. This is what he said. Go listen to the tape. This is the white boy, you know, who has the information. Go listen to the tape. All right? He says you don't have very much time left. He said there's going to be an economic upheaval as a consequence of having 80 to 90 million people, all right, depending on that, a fund that doesn't no longer exist. There'll be no money. They'll be broke. And so when you hear them talking about recently about lifting the debt ceiling and reneging on their payments of their debt, you can understand why. He says 2028, that's all the time you got. Now, that's what he says. But who is he? All right? That's what he says. All right? That was in the news, Brother Thurman. That was startling to me. And why is it that I'm talking about it? Because Hulu needs to know about that. Because not necessarily we can say that I don't believe him, or he may be telling the half-truth, or, you know, he may be telling the whole truth. How does that impact our plans? What does that do? Not that we're going to change our plans, because our plans is clear. And that is a pool, the resources, both monetary, all right, the physical resources, the mental resources, pool those resources to develop an economy that supports us, all right? Well, that might mean we might need to move a little bit faster. We have to look at our organizing ability, all right, and that impacted because, all right, because of if we believe and assess that he is right on, then we have some things that we need to do in the next 6 to 7 years. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yes. So brother, you know, the things that you said and about most of the deaths of seniors and on Social Security, which is a huge chunk of money, and then you just talked about that in spite of whether we take this seriously or not, or we should take it seriously, we should not, you know, because of their record, not put nothing past them. And you mentioned us lifting us, and what came to me, which you never had before in the same kind of way, is that a big focus on Social Security from the black economics perspective in Ulu would be we are our own social security. And so I'm not talking about the SSI funding, but I'm talking about us pooling intellectual and financial resources and be our own social security. You just gave me that thought, brother. I like that.
I like that, too. Good. That's right. We are our own social security.
And so it's in our hands to take control or either stay forever be at the mercy of others. Is that right?
That's right. That's what Brother Hakima.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Baba Hakima. And Brother Shabaka and all of the family, you know, by telephone and by internet radio, we thank you so much. This is another Thursday night Dare to Win call, and we're having a sober discussion about the economic and political plight of black people. And we've got to
organize, be very thoughtful in analyzing and critical thinking. And we've got the capability of rising up and doing something about this. And so tonight, ideally you're taking notes. Tonight, it's time, it's nighttime, it's time to quiet your mind and have a positive focus and positive thoughts that you prepare your mind for as you lay down to go into your dream time, and don't be cluttered up with other confused and foul thoughts. And seek out tonight, go into the garden of peace and let the Most High and let the ancestors and your inner being talk to you and guide you to higher thoughts of how we're going to succeed in accomplishing what we must. We must do that. So I thank you so much. I thank you, Brother Shabaka. I thank all of the family that's participated tonight, and the information is powerful. And we need to continue to do this periodically, is having a discussion and invite more information about what's in the news when we gather and share that with each other at the Ulu Cultural Center. Go into the Garden of Peace and rest your mind, your body, rejuvenate, and be ready in the morning when the sun comes up like the gazelle, ready to run till the lion, the mean evil lion beast won't devour us. Peace, family.